her.
Yeah, he met Miriam, and they wanted to get married, and her mother just about had a fit.
Because he wasn't Jewish?
Yeah, because, well, I don't think they minded that so much. Of course, that, yeah, they didn't like that too much. But he didn't have a good job, and, you know, he was too young, you know, they didn't know what he was going to do. And so he really had a bad time. Now, Bill could write a book about that time. God, it was terrible. Every day he'd come home saying, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And if we get married here, and blah, blah. And if we get married, Miriam's mother won't come to our wedding. And so Miriam didn't want to get married. Her mother wasn't going to come. And I said, Bill, don't be silly. Because by that time, I knew this woman. And I said, how could she complain about it if she doesn't come to your wedding? So I said, wild horses would keep her away. And that was true. She came to their wedding. And her father gave her a nice wedding. Her father wasn't quite so bad as her mother. But her father had a talk with Bill before they got married, man to man, I guess, and said, Bill was trying to be an actor. He was in drama class when he was in junior college, and then he still was interested in acting, and he had a friend who helped him. He had a scholarship to Idlewild for the summer, and then he had a scholarship to the Pasadena Playhouse and like that. So he thought he was going to get someplace. Everybody thought he had possibilities. But Sam, who was his mother, father, said, anyway, he promised Sam that he would try for 2 years. We would give him 2 years, and if he didn't make it, he'd forget about it. And that's what he did. He was working, you know, all the time, of course. But in 2 years, Miriam got pregnant. So Bill knew we had to do something. So then he went to night school to study accounting. And I don't know how he did it. He got his degree in 2 years, going nights, which is impossible, but he did it. And then he got his license and everything and went, you know, got another job. And then he was on his way, but by that time, his wife, I never knew what the trouble was, what it was all about. I didn't really want to know. But one day I called him up, and I was calling her to tell her I was coming out to see her the next day. They lived out near Disneyland. And Bill said, she's gone. I said, what? He said, she's gone. She left me. And I said, what's the trouble? Well, I don't know. He didn't want to tell me. I don't know what it was. They just fought. And he was really broken up. Because he took all his love affairs very hard. and so anyway, that was them.
And now how many, she have another child, or they had just the one?
No, he had just one child.
And did she take the child?
She took the child for a while, but she got married. Yeah, she had Diana, and then she got married.
Mm.
And she married a man, an older man, with lots of money. He's a dentist in Beverly Hills, so that'll tell you. And Diana wasn't happy with them. And I don't know, there was some... And Bill went to court and got custody and took her.
Now, when was all that? Was that while you were still at the Department of Water and Power?
Yeah.
So it was before?
Yeah, I was still in Water and Power.
Now, what about Kathleen?
And Kathleen had gotten married.
How old was she then?
Young. I don't know, 18, I suppose.
So they all got married.
Yeah, I couldn't wait.
What was your hopes for her?
Well, I had hoped she wouldn't get married. And she didn't go to school much either. She didn't graduate from high school. She was working in a telephone company, I guess. She was a telephone operator. She worked in the telephone company. She also worked at City Hall, you know, another time. And, yeah, she got married, and then she didn't have They were having trouble, and I don't know what all was going on with them. And then she was pregnant. Anyway, she was pregnant, and she had her baby after she left, after they split up. And she stayed with, she didn't come home to me. She went to Grace. It's Grace's turn. She went, stayed with Grace until she had the baby, and then got a job. And then Grace took care of the baby while she worked, and, you know, all those miserable things.
Well, at what point, about what year was it then that all of them would have moved out? By what point?
Well, Diana was born in 1960. So Bill was married in 1958, because he was married 2 years, more than 2 years, but he was married 2 years when Hoosie got pregnant. So he was married in about 58. That was the last one.
Now, how did you feel then when you were, after all of these years, all the struggle and quietness?
It was strange. Well, of course, they went gradually, you know, so it wasn't a big deal. In fact, Bill wouldn't have gone at all, because as he quit school, he wouldn't go to school anymore. And I said, if you want to, I didn't go to school. I'm supporting you all this time, and might as well do it a little longer. And then he was going to get a job, and he was fiddling around, and, you know, couldn't get a job, and got laid off, you know, probably went to the movies rather than look for a job. And that went on for a little while, not very long, but anyway, I told him, go down and get a civil service job. There, you know, you could get one there, there's no problem. So that's what he did, and then when he got his job, I told him to move. And he was shook. But I said, no, you go, you like it. So he did that. I think I told you this before. Mm-hmm. So, I said, it's all right, we're still friends, I love you and everything, but it's not good for you to stay here because you're too dependent on me. Even when he had a job, oh, he was always a wheeler and dealer with money. He'd say, I'd say, you get paid today, you want to give me some money? You know, hand over. I don't know how much I was, he was supposed to give me $5 or something because he didn't have much of a job. And he'd say, well, I'll tell you, Ma, I paid the laundry man, and you told me if I ate my dinner out that you'd pay for it, and I did this and that was so much, and that was so much, and blah, 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 so you only owe me 50 cents. So I thought that this is the time for him to go and find out what it's like. And he did, and he got along just fine. You know, he got an apartment, and he kept it so clean, and I always had to get sweep under his bed and get, besides the dirt, get all his underwear and socks out that he wore all week to put in the laundry every week. And but then he got married. See, I guess he was going with Miriam, and I guess when kids are out like that away from home on their own, you know, it's not good. They were going together, and then I suppose she came up to his apartment, and, you know, they start getting too involved. And she was the kind of girl like I was. She'd say, no soap. So then they, you know, got married anyway.
Well, how did you feel, even though you wanted to get out?
It was just such a relief. It was a sense of, you know, I look around, I didn't know how to act, and I was all alone in my house. When I'd come home, everything would be the way I left it. But it was lonely, and I did miss them all. But I saw they were all right around. I saw all of them, you know, all the time. It wasn't like now I hardly see anybody. But still, no matter how much I saw them, I missed them. But then that, it was just, you know, you were in two minds, whether to think, oh, I'm glad they're gone, or whether to feel bad.
Now, and this Yeah, this would be when you were still the Department of Water.
Yeah, I was still there.
And was your friend Dolores still living across the street, or had she already...
Yeah, no, she'd gone to the El Monte. And
oh,
I,
so you really were relatively alone then.
Yeah, well then I was, see, then it, I used to go out to her house on the weekends and stay with her because, you know, I didn't have anybody at home, so it was great. I used to go out. Now then I was back working nights again because I used to go out to her house. I used to go out to her house in the middle of the night. Oh, I guess I must have been working in the afternoon. And, because I'd get out there and she'd leave the kitchen door open because they'd all be in bed. And she'd leave me some food or something. And one night, there was an ironing board up in the kitchen and a big basket of clothes, and there was a note on it. He said, "Do this ironing before you go to bed, George." Her husband left it for me. So I remember, that's how I knew I was working nights. And then, I don't know, I guess I went back to days. Yeah, I worked days and nights. Well, when I get a different job, you know, you bid on your job. When a job is open for grabs, you bid on it.
Now, were you unionized there?
No. Only the electricians, I think, belong to a union. Well, we were all scabs. And my father was probably whirling in his grave.
Well, now, when did you left the Department of Water and Power in 62? Now, what made you decide to leave?
Had a brainstorm. Just thought, look at all. My kids were always, we hate to tell us, they were always borrowing money from me. They paid it back. Probably not all. Maybe I'd be rich beyond the dreams of avarice today. I had it all, but they paid it back, but I guess sometimes they didn't. But it seemed to me, oh, they were always borrowing money. And that made me think of it. You know, I thought, gee, I got all that money in the retirement fund. Hoo-hoo-hoo. So I went to the library and I got a whole bunch of books about traveling. And Europe on $5 a day. That was the Bible. And I drew on all my money, and everybody in the office, they didn't believe me that I was just quitting. And they said, "Well, what are you going to do? And are you getting married?" Everybody thought, "You're getting married." And I thought, oh, God. That's how, no wonder women are so stupid. That's all they think about. No, I'm not getting married. And then I tried to explain to them, I'm just going to do what I want to do till my money is gone. So I did. I went to Europe. I was gone for almost a year.
Oh, did you go alone?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Tell me about your trip.
Oh, that's another book. That's a whole other book.
You were gone for a year?
Yeah, almost a year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I went on a Spanish freighter. Mm-hmm. And then I had a Euro pass, and then I just went all around, and I had the most marvelous time, and I met wonderful people, and I never had any trouble with the language or the money. I learned the money every place in one day.
Did you pick up language at all?
Pardon me?
Were you able to pick up the languages at all?
Well, everybody speaks English, but, you know, anywhere a tourist goes. But I always picked up a few words every place. And you can always communicate if you want to.
How were you treated as a single, 55-year-old?
Yeah.
People relate to you and respond to you.
Oh, everybody was very nice, but all these books I read were very helpful. They told you, you know, that in the south, in France, the south of France, but Spain and Italy, you had to be very careful because they were, you know, how those Latin men were in those days. And you couldn't wear slacks or anything. And, I never went out at night. I did all my touring in the daytime, and I went to my hotel read my books at night. And so I got along fine. I didn't ever have any trouble with anybody or anything. Never.
That's a very long time to go without anyone that you can really closely communicate with, though. Did you experience any difficulties about that?
No. Well, I didn't have any trouble with anything. I didn't have sense enough, I guess. I know, I didn't know I should be scared until I came home and everybody said, weren't you scared? I wasn't scared.
Did you feel lonely at all?
No, I didn't ever, because there was so much to see and do, and everything was, you know, so completely different and new and marvelous. Ooh.
When you started, did you have a notion of how long you were going to spend?
No, I didn't know how long I could stay, but I don't remember how much money I had in the thing. I remember, it seemed to me $2,000 was what I had in the pension fund, something about $2,000. Mm-hmm. And then I had some money, I had some money in the credit union. I didn't have very much, but I owed for my car. I had to pay for my car before I left. So that was about $800. That came out of it. I guess I had around 2,000 mm-hmm. after that.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might have been more than that anyway. And with this book, $5 a day, you know, hooked me loose. So, and it was true. You could do it then. Of course, now it's so different. And I never had any reservations anywhere. Never dreamed of doing such a ghost thing. I just went, and I got to a place, and I always timed things so that I got wherever in the morning, and I got someplace late. It was someplace in Spain, wherever. I got there late, and they didn't have a room, and I said, what is this? But the hotel clerk said, you know, don't worry. No, se molesto. Must have been in Spain. I said, don't molest yourself. And he had a boy take me to another hotel. They always have rooms. Because
mm-hmm.
I left in January, the end of January. And so I went through Spain and Italy and all around there in those winter months. And then when I got on, I thought France was going to be so marvelous. Paris, you know, see Paris and die. You know, the what's her name, Gertrude Stein and all those people. And it was such a disappointment to me. That was the only place I met people who were rotten and stinking and
mm-hmm.
mean. And I heard so many people say that. But I was glad to get out of there. But it was, you know, it was marvelous to see Paris. It's so beautiful and so marvelous. I don't think it's the most beautiful city in the world, though. But when I got to London, when I stepped off the ferry or whatever, you know, across mm-hmm. the English Channel. Thought I was home. The first word I heard was, mind the step, love. I thought, I'm here. And I loved London. And besides, we had a friend there. This friend that used to work in the Pasadena Playhouse here, Bill's friend. Oh, he's much older than Bill, but he was a friend of his. And he lives in London.
Mm-hmm.
And he took me all around, and I had a marvelous time there because Jack drove me everywhere, and, you know.
Did you have family, you know, distant relatives in Ireland?
No, mm-hmm. nobody.
Mm-hmm.
But see, all this time I was alone. I went alone, and I traveled alone, but
mm-hmm.
I was really never alone because I always met people.
Mm-hmm. Other foreigners?
Yeah,
foreigners
other,
no,
Americans, Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And went with them. There were two women from Chicago who were retired from the telephone company. And I went. They had a bus ticket to go all around, and I had a train. So we'd meet in the next city, you know. And that was nice. I always had somebody, and then we picked up a fellow from Minneapolis. He was a Swede. He was going home to Sweden or something. And oh, every place I went, I had somebody.
How did you decide to then end it?
To end, my money was getting low. Before I went, I told my children I wanted to do this. And they said, oh, that's, you know, great. And I said, yeah, but wait now, you don't know, because I'm going to draw all this money out, and when I come back, and I'm going to spend a lot of it, when I come back, I won't have any job, and I won't have any retirement, and I won't have any insurance, and I won't have any anything. And they said, so? And Kenny said, go already, Ma. You can worry about that when you come home. So I thought that was pretty marvelous that they didn't say, oh, you can't do that. And so then when my money was running out, I thought I'd better come home. I was going to go, I met this boy in London who was from somewhere in the other end of the world, the East, Malaya or somewhere. And he wanted me to go and see his parents because he said his daddy was an automobile salesman or something. Well, they're crooked, but they make a lot of money here anyway. But his father must have had a lot of money because he was going to school in London. And his brothers and sisters and somebody else was all going to school there. And I was going to do that. I went and got a shot for it. And went to the doctor and got a shot, and she said, you know, you'll have to pay for this. And I thought, what's that mean? Who ever heard of getting a shot free? But then I found out they were, what do you call it, nationalized, yeah. And I had to pay for it because but other people, I don't know why, I should have thought that, because girls came from Spain to London to have their babies because they didn't pay for it, and then they went home again. So they didn't have to pay. Why should I have to pay for my measly little shot? Anyway, I paid for a shot. And I had enough money that I thought I could go home that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought it over, and I thought, no, when I get home, I'll be absolutely broke. And I've been there before, and it wasn't any fun. So I came home. And it was marvelous. I stayed with somebody. I stayed with Bill, who was living here in Los Angeles then. He couldn't have been. I don't know who I must have stayed with Kenny, because I was always chiseling off them somehow or another. Yeah, I must have stayed with Lois. And, he was living in La Mirada. So anyway, what I did, I came home and I took all kinds of civil service tests again.
Oh, you had to take them again?
Yeah, because I quit, you know, I didn't get a leave of absence or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I just, and I got a call from the sheriff's department, and I went to work there. And then I got a place of my own, and was in business.
So what sort of job did you have then?
In the sheriff's department, I went to work first in key punch.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how to key punch, but I made a stab at it, and the policeman who was, deputy, who was hiring a watch commander or somebody, he gave me the job anyway. That's how I got my very first job of all in my life. I failed in mathematics. And so I was doing that for a while, and then, well, you had to do a lot of things. There, we worked nights again. I worked nights. And as on the night crew there, you had to do the morning. It was the morning shift, we called it. Morning watch. You had to double in brass and do a lot of things. And so I used to book prisoners and run the teletype stuff, and I don't know what all. do everything.
What station was this at?
It was in the men's jail.
Down
at that time when I got the job, it was in the Hall of Justice.
The county.
It was in the basement of the Hall of Justice, and then they built a new jail,
mm-hmm.
and we moved over there.
And you were living in this area again.
I lived everywhere during that time. I kept moving and moving. Every place I lived, it was so discouraging. I'd get an apartment, I couldn't get a swanky apartment or anything, just an ordinary place. And they'd never fix anything. If something would be falling apart and they wouldn't fix it, never would, and so I'd move. And then they'd fix it. I don't understand landlords. Then they'd have to because they couldn't rent it.
Now,
so I just kept moving around.
Who were your friends at that point? Your friends, basically.
Well, we was kind of friendly with the girls at work there, but I didn't see too much of them outside. I don't remember. I didn't used to see anybody much outside of work. What I used to do was, on my free time or during the, after I had enough, I'd sleep in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I used to just drive. I'd drive anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd drive to see the kids. And Grace was living in San Diego by that time. And I used to drive down there on my day off. And that's about all I ever did. Until Kenny died, and then I started.
And when was that?
Kenny died in 1971, I guess it was. Yeah, I think it was 1971.
How did he die?
He just didn't wake up one morning. And later on, my daughter-in-law showed me the autopsy report. She said, "Here's the autopsy report." That coroner's office must be awful busy. It took forever. Seemed like a long time afterwards. But I don't know what it said. I couldn't read it. And I said, "Oh yeah, thank you, dear." But I think then later on I asked Kathleen. I said, "What did Kenny die of?" And I think she said sclerosis of the liver. Is that what the alcoholics get?
Yeah. But how long had he been an alcoholic?
Well, he'd been, he used to drink too much, once in a while, and even when his children were small.
Mm.
And he wasn't too, he worked all the time. And when we'd say, Kenny, you should do something about that, he'd get so insulted and so mad, how they do. And I'm not crazy. I don't need to go to a head shrinker. And but then his children were out of school, I guess. Kenny, the youngest one, was still in school. Anyway, he started drinking a lot. I didn't know it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went into his house one day and he was passed out. I thought he was just asleep. I wouldn't have known any different, but he knew I saw him and he thought that I knew what was wrong. But anyway, it went on like that. If you know anything about people that drink, you know what it's like. Lois couldn't stand it and she told him he'd have to go, and she was going to get a divorce. And so then he changed jobs a lot. He was in computers, something or another, computer analyst or some dumb thing. He worked for Honeywell. He worked for Honeywell, and they sent him to Massachusetts to iron out problems and all that stuff. He was really good at it, but I guess then he had a different job. He went someplace else to work or someplace else, and I imagine all that time it was because he was drinking, and I didn't know it. I thought he was getting, he did get a better job, I think, each time. And I thought that's why he left, because he got a better job.